But don't you just love a good road trip? Taking to the great American highways and byways. Taking in the beauty of God's creation as you make your way to destinations near or far. I know that we, the Hill family, love a good road trip. We've had many a good road trip. One of my favorites was when Pam and I traveled to Michigan. We had been married less than a year, I think. It was this time of year. And traveling across, you know, the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and then the Ohio Turnpike, and then up into Michigan. All the colors, right? It's like a color tour. You see all the foliage changing colors. It was gorgeous. I remember one moment when we came across this mountain and looking over the valley and the mountain beyond and to see all of the trees that were just lit up. It was awesome. It was a great moment. Spent a couple of days on Mackinac Island. You want to know about Mackinac Island? Ask the Hayjack. That's one of their places to go. It's a real treat. It's a time that we'll never forget. We've had many other memorable trips. One funny memory that Pam and I were talking about this week was when we went to Disney with the kids for the first time. I don't know, Mark might have been in third grade and Elena in fifth or sixth grade. And we planned for weeks. We packed the car for weeks. Pam filled us up with snacks and lunches. We were ready to roll. And off we went into the wild blue yonder. And boy, we're about 15 minutes into the trip, maybe Willow Grove, somewhere right out west of town. And in the back seat, I heard Mark blurt out, "Well, when will we be there?" Everybody laughs, right? It's because we've all had the same thing. We cracked up. I remember when we would travel, my dad would always say, "There are three things that you boys always say when we're traveling. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, and I've got to go to the bathroom." And we've all been there, and I think that's why it's humorous. Kids will tell you what they're thinking. And in today's lesson, we see the children of Israel on a trip, a monumental trip of epic proportion. And they were hungry. They were wondering where their next meal would come from. And our God, our all-powerful, all-wise, ever-present God, provides in a mighty way. Be reading this morning from Exodus 16. In your bulletin, it says verses 2 through 15. I'd actually like to read 1 through 15. Is that okay with you? Find that on page 57 in your pew Bible under the subtitle, Manna and Quail. Hear the word of the Lord. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you've brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that it is to be twice as much as they gathered on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it is the Lord when he gives you meat enough to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You're not grumbling against us, but you're grumbling against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the whole community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in a cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, What is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. You know, our scripture today tells us a number of things about God. It also tells us a number of things about ourselves. What we see in ourselves when we read that is when things get tough or uncomfortable, when we find ourselves in a place of need, or maybe even in a place of want, we cry out to God. Or perhaps we express our concerns to the leaders that we see. Perhaps we express our concerns to one another. Maybe they can help us. Today's text, we find that the Israelites in the desert, they're hungry. They've just been led out of bondage, Egyptian bondage, by Moses and Aaron. They were delivered from slavery by the hand of God, saved from destruction last week. Rick talked about it. By God parting the Red Sea and making a way for the Israelites to escape destruction by the Egyptian army. And here we are, weeks into this journey, and the people begin to grumble. They grumble against Aaron and Moses. They grumble and grumble and grumble and grumble and grumble because they're hungry. You know, I get a little grumpy sometimes when I get hungry. And I'll tell you, anybody has children? Anybody here have children? Remember when your children would get hungry? Man, they say, I'm hungry. And they'd grumble, when are we going to eat? They wanted to know what's coming. But here we have a whole community of people. And a whole community, but more than just a community. We're a community. I'm talking about 2 or 3 million people out in the desert without food. I expect if we were out there, we'd be grumbling too. They've been on their trek to the promised land for just a few weeks, and they're anxious and fearful. And they say, if only you had left us in Egypt. But here you have brought us out into this desert to die of starvation. If only we had been left in Egypt. We had plenty to eat. We'd be much better off. And we're a lot like the Israelites, aren't we? If only. Have you ever said it? If only. I know I have. I've said it a lot. If I had a nickel for every time I said if only, I'd have a lot of nickels. The thing that I think about, and this is my biggest if only. If only I'd gone to college when I was a young man, I wouldn't have gray hair sitting in a classroom with a bunch of young people. If only. If only I were taller. If only I were thinner. If only I were richer. If only I had been born into a family that had wealth and means. Maybe my life would be better. Maybe my life would be different. If only I'd pursued this dream or that dream. And we grumble. We grumble that our lives are not necessarily what we'd hope they become. We grumble because maybe we expected life to turn out a different way. I know that if I'd done things differently, that my life would be much different. But those differences might not be what God had planned for me. Just like it wasn't God's plan for the Israelites to remain in bondage, God doesn't want you nor I, to remain in bondage to whatever it is that keeps us from being all that God would have us be. God has a plan. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. And we know that God's plans are good, that God's plans are not to harm us, to leave us in bondage, to starve us to death and leave us in the desert. God has a plan for each of us, and His plans are good. You know, God heard the grumbling of the Israelites. God hears our grumbling. God also hears our prayers of praise. God hears our prayers with requests for our needs and our wants. But even in our grumbling, God is there and He takes action for our well-being, just like the Israelites. God responds in ways that we may not understand. God, who loves us and wants the best for us, is always at work for us. And as the Lord provided for the Israelites, God provides for us. And just as God provided for the Israelites more than enough, more than an ample amount of manna and quail in the desert, God provides for us. Whenever I think that I'm in need, whenever I think that there's something I want that's not right there at my fingertips, I always come back to the scripture that says, remember the birds. Consider the birds of the air. They neither toil nor reap, and yet your heavenly Father provides for them. Are you not worth more than they? Are you not of great value than a bird? More value than a bird? Well, of course you are. And God's going to take care of you, just like He took care of the Israelites. You know, there's another thing that we see in this text, is that the Israelites needed to learn to rely on God and not the Egyptians. You know, the Israelites were in bondage for over 400 years. They were building buildings for the Egyptians, and they had plenty to eat. Their most basic need of food was taken care of by their oppressors. And now that they're free and they're out on their own, they have no idea where their next meal's coming from. But at just the right time, God shows up. When their need is great, God shows up and God shows out. He gives them food, but just enough for today. And He does it day in and day out. Day after day. Week after week, month after month, year after year, for 40 years, day after day, this great caravan of millions, these grumbling travelers, have enough food for today. And God's provision just for today wasn't merely a testing of their faith. I believe that it was God helping them to rely on God. That God was helping them to grow in their faith, to begin to trust God more and more day by day. Our fears and anxieties begin to wane when we see God at work. When we know that God's going to show up at just the right time, even when we're out in the wilderness, we see God pouring out blessings into our lives. A few weeks ago, Pam and I, we like to watch movies on Saturday. I think I've shared that with you before. A few weeks ago, we saw a movie called The Coffee Shop. At The Coffee Shop, it was a story about this young lady in this small town. She ran this coffee shop, and man, she was struggling. They were getting ready to close the place up. She didn't have enough to keep her business going. And there was one line. She was talking to this elderly gentleman who was in a wheelchair, motorized wheelchair. And she was sharing her struggle with him. And she said, I just don't know how I'm going to make it. And this is what he said. He said, don't get lost in the temporary. No one can possibly know what God has planned. Can I get an amen? Don't get caught in the temporary. Nobody knows what God has planned. It was an awesome thought. Now, how do I remember a line from a movie that goes on for a couple hours? It was meaningful. It meant a lot to me, even in that moment. Good stuff. I'd like to leave you with 3 points this morning. First point, God hears. I'll tell you how many times that God in this scripture, 16 verses, 15 verses of scripture, says God hears. God hears your grumbling. God hears your prayers. And when God hears your prayers, God is this close to you. And He knows what's going on in your head and your heart. And when you speak a word, He knows it. And when God hears, God acts. And when God acts, you shall know. You shall know that it is the Lord your God that has delivered you from whatever it was you need delivering from. And when you know that it was God, you will see His glory. You'll see the glory of the Lord, just like the Israelites. And this is what I want to tell you. A blessing from God. Think about it. Rick said it last week. Write down your blessings. See what kind of a list you come up with. And I'll bet you'd have pages upon pages upon pages of blessings if you really sit down and think about it. And think about all those blessings that God has put into your life. All the blessings that God has put into my life. Every single time we see one, even if it's a piece of bread, you see the glory of the Lord at work. You know, I was at Star Hill AME a few weeks ago for their Men's Day. And they were singing this song, and we've got it in our hymn book, called Through It All. It's an old song, gospel song. It was written by a guy named Andre Crouch, 1971. Andre Crouch has gone on to be with the Lord. And we've got the chorus. I didn't even know the song had verses. It has 3 verses. And one of the verses that stuck with me is, for the mountains, I thank you for the valleys. I thank you for the storms you brought me through. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve. I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. When we learn to rely on God and trust on God in the good times and the bad times, our faith will grow. And we'll learn to trust in Him more and more day by day. So be it in my life, so be it in yours. Amen. God bless you.